Welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. I'm Mary.
This is Elise.
And discerning in general is tricky, but discerning adoption is like a special brand of sneaky. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
This is what we're talking about today. Hope you're ready. I don't know if I am. Gumbo chases her bone around the hard floor.
There's always like some dog thing in the background.
She heard the music and she was like, okay, I'll dance. Throw bone. All right. The weirdest thing happened at my mom's house the other day.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Okay, I went there in the morning to drop Bella off because she was going to watch her. I had somewhere to go. Actually, it was a funeral. And so I was like dressed up really fancy and in heels, and I was running a little bit late and it was cold, and I had this dress on. There's the bone again.
Oh my goodness.
And my fancy jacket, and I was like running to my car, right? Clearly in a rush.
Right.
So I get into my car, which is parked like on the street, and I see this Amazon Prime delivery truck. My mom lives on a dead end. Okay. It's kind of a small street. Come in, like leaving the street, and he stops right next to my car. Like as I have the door halfway open, getting into the car, clearly rushing, dressed up, having somewhere to go. And he rolls, his window is down, and he goes, "Do you live here?" And I said, "No, I just am here. My mom lives here." He pulls out a package and he says, "Would you mind bringing this inside for me?" And I'm like, I'm not one who speaks my mind or like,
I'm very passive.
I'm just like, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you say.
Right.
But I was like, I looked at my car, like I just naturally looked at myself, like clearly I am in a rush and going somewhere. And you want me to do your job and run this package to my mom's house?
Right.
I was like, Oh no! He goes, are you coming here? I guess. I was like, no, I'm actually leaving. And he still says, could you bring this in? And I was like, what is happening right now? So I was like, sure. And he's like, oh, thanks. Gets out his scanny thing, does his thing to say like, I've delivered this package. So I'm waiting.
Oh my gosh.
Hands me the package and drives away. And I ran in heels back to my mom's door, knocked on the door, dropped it, and like ran back to my car. Is that the strangest thing?
Well, sadly, no, it is very strange. But I feel like when it comes to like FedEx, UPS, and actually our mail person is pretty bad. Like we have a really good UPS and Amazon Prime and FedEx and all that. They'll bring it right to the door. But our USPS just throws it in our carport. So if I didn't see it, Will would crush the package.
When he's like drove his car.
And is like shoving all of our mail into our mailbox, but like crumpled up. And Will's been noticing this. And I'm like, what? Why?
Surely there's like all different kinds of situations. And this guy was nice. Like he wasn't like rude or anything.
Right.
But
it's just
the
like
request. I mean, that's like pretty extreme. Like, can you stop what you're doing and go run this?
Especially when you say, no, actually I'm like leaving.
Yeah, no, I'm not coming here.
And
that
he doesn't say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm blocking you in. Oh my goodness.
It's so unusual.
And it's one of those situations where you're so thrown off guard, you don't even know what to say.
Speaking of discernment, like, what do I do in this moment?
Right. It's so, oh my gosh. It's, yeah.
It doesn't have a whole lot to do with discernment, but man, I can't tell you how many times thinking about discerning adoption and thinking how like weird it is. Because it's so different, right? So we're infertile, obviously. We've talked about this many times.
Right.
And I want to hear what your thoughts of just in general discernment and adoption go about. But like, first of all, I mean, and naturally with most things, you have two people like in a marriage discerning something together.
Right.
So it's hard to like come to the same page, right? But what like with adoption versus getting pregnant, you know, like it's like there's so
just
many
two different
the difficulty for me is that there's so many things that we have to choose to do intentionally
so many
hoops to jump through
so much
red tape to go through. There must be 95 decisions that we have to make before we can be at a place where like, okay, Lord, we're open, bring us the child you've called us to.
Right. And but even it, you have to discern something that you never have to discern as like a fertile couple. Is,
that's the struggle.
Is God actually calling us to have children, period?
Right.
Because
that's true.
Because this is something that you never have to discern. Like, but you do have to discern that when you're infertile, because he might not be calling you to it.
That's a really good point. Let me chew on that for a minute.
Well, that's kind of part of our story.
And then it's like, well, how many now?
Yeah,
are you calling me to have another
exactly.
one?
Right, exactly. Which I mean, there's definitely a discernment that should go into producing life. You know, we've talked about this,
of course.
But it's just it's a whole different ball game, you know, and it's of course like financially, you know, and I've said this in a recent podcast where it's like, you know, people will be like, well, I have to pay for my childbirth. And it's like, no, you have insurance and you can make a payment plan. When it comes to adoption, everything is up front and you have to do it, you know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just it's a whole different ball game. So
what was the process like for y'all?
Well, you know, we didn't adopt at all yet.
Yeah, but discerned it.
Right, right. Well, we've been married for 9 years. We're not nearing 10, but we're, you know, past 9. And so like, you know, there was a long period of infertility and mm-hmm. thinking, oh, we were going to get pregnant. And Will is like the eternal optimist, mm-hmm. you know? So like
me and him are the same.
Yeah,
I am too.
But he's even more to an extreme than you like are. Like mm-hmm. he, you know, and he even recently said, he was like, sometimes I think I'm a little too much of an optimist. But we were actually talking about
not realistic.
Well, yeah, we were talking about this because, you know, we were talking about, he was like, maybe we should have done more when you were younger, you know, to,
wait,
to
what do you mean by that?
Like with helping, like starting the process earlier. Like we waited for like a year and a half or 2 years before I went and got surgery and things like that. You know what I mean? So he was like, you know, I was just like, we're going to get pregnant. Yeah. Like that was his mentality and has been his mentality for so long. He was like, we're going to get pregnant.
I feel like
you know?
That's kind of toxic. I'm making up this word. Please don't hold it against me. Like toxic, not femininity but like this toxic couple thought that we're just going to get pregnant. This is just going to happen.
Yeah. It's just going to happen.
And it messes you up.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what he was saying was he was being vulnerable with me and being like, you know, I think I took it for granted, you know, and we probably should have been more proactive earlier, you know? And you know, hindsight 2020.
Well,
like,
but I want to add too, though, because this comes into the NFP conversation and how it's not discussed. We're not taught how to discern.
Right.
It's not a big conversation we have as engaged couples. Like, the church needs some work here.
Yes.
And we need to be teaching our couples not only about NFP and fertility awareness, but how to discern. Like, we need to be discerning this and discussing this as a couple at least monthly, if not daily.
Right.
And inviting God into that conversation.
Right.
Are you calling us to be open right now? Today.
Right.
And here, this is a day of fertility, a day of infertility. God, how are you calling us to use this?
Right.
We need to be thinking about it and talking about it way more than we're taught to, because had it been explained to you that way, maybe you would have come to that conclusion a little sooner.
Right.
Had we all been more open about that sooner?
Right.
Because we were the same way. We wanted to wait a little bit.
Well, and we didn't want to wait, actually. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying is like we waited to get treatment. We wanted kids right away.
Yeah.
Like there was not even a period where we were like, we don't want children.
See, we should, newsflash, Elise and I were not friends at this part in our life. That's why we're just at this moment being like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Literally.
No. We were like, we were trying from like day one. Like that's how much we wanted kids. We wanted kids right away. Like that was never even a question for us.
How did I not know this?
It was a matter of, intervention is what he was saying. Like, because I had a cycle every 4 to 5 months, like, and we thought somehow I was going to get pregnant.
Yeah,
like those, we'd be like, oh, okay, we got to try now. Cause it's like, it's just so funny. The lack of knowledge. And I did Creighton when I was 17, you know what I mean? So it's just so funny how it's just society and the lack of education that we have and awareness of women's bodies and how okay, hello, like that is not a healthy, fertile body. Well, also, you know what I mean?
The other thing, the conversation we need to have is that this is a conversation not just about fertility, it's about health.
Right.
So like if you weren't having, not forget about trying to get pregnant, like how about we get you healthy and get treated?
Right, right. Well, and for us, it was kind of the opposite. Like Will was not into adopting because he was just so convinced that it's I was going to get pregnant, mm-hmm. you know? And so it, but it's funny because we kind of have, you know, flip-flopped at times mm-hmm. and we, it's funny it, you talk about, you know, being on the same page because you do, you have mm-hmm. to be on the same page to make this huge life decision. So there was times where I feel that he's been more open to it and there's times where I've been more open to it and we were never on the same time frame except mm-hmm. for this one time, which was, you know, 8 years into us being, you know, infertile and married, you know.
So around 2 years ago-ish.
Yeah. And we were, it was crazy. It was like all of a sudden God was pushing us towards adoption. We had a friend who called us and literally I had just taken this job and we were having our first like youth group meeting that week or the week after. Yeah. And our friend calls us and is like, hey, you know, my friend has a baby and they need to adopt this baby out. Can you do it? And like, we have never gone through the adoption process.
Had you just announced it on Facebook or something? So it was
public knowledge? No. We hadn't discerned it. Like we were not open at that point. Like, like we were not looking to adopt at that point. Okay. Like, so, like at least, yeah, no. Yeah. I don't believe we were. I don't even remember.
That must have got the juices.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it was. It did. It got the juices flowing, but it was crazy because so this was, it would be a private adoption. So we didn't have a home study. We didn't have anything. And, you know, you remember this because I called you and I was like freaking out. I'm like, I just am about to start this youth group. Mm-hmm. Like it was not the right time. Like the Lord was like, there's no way we could have done that. You know what I mean?
I remember this conversation vividly because you were like, both things I have dreamed about for so long, being a youth minister, finally got this in a great parish with a supportive priest. And this at the same time, like you're just like, I don't know how I can squeeze them both. Like they're both, you've desired them both so fully. It was like, but this isn't this conflict of what is God doing?
Well, and the thing was too, was that I knew I had health issues, even though I wasn't being open about that at that point. Like I knew I had limited energy and I was like, there's no way I can do, like I was like doing like 60 to 80 hours days in the beginning of starting this youth group. You know, mm-hmm. there's no way that I could have taken on a newborn, you know, especially because there was also like issues of, drugs and things like that. So
you didn't know what needs the child would
have. So then on top of it was like, oh, there might be special needs and all this,
but
you know,
you were considering this.
Oh, I was very and I actually never ended up saying yes or no because I literally couldn't say no. So but you remember this, so I called you up and you know, this friend is an awesome woman of God, has never been through the adoption process or anything. So she was very like, you know, very positive in the fact of like, she was like, well, if God wants this, you know, if God is putting this in your life, you can do it, you know? And it's like, I felt so like, that was really like, and this, she didn't mean it or intend it, but like, that was not the right thing to say. And I felt a lot of pressure and I felt like I was letting this child down, letting the Lord down. And I called you and I was like, what do I do? You know? And both you and Chris were so amazing and were like, no, like, you cannot, like, this is not okay. You know, like you have to make this decision. And if the Lord will put it on your heart, like
you will provide what is needed.
Yes.
And it wasn't working out that
way. Well, right. And you were like, you will know, like this child, you will be like, this is my child. Mm-hmm. And it was so crazy. I don't even know if I shared this with you because I didn't want to admit it. But I went to Mass throughout that time and I was walking up to communion and I heard literally from him say, this is not your child.
What?
And but I didn't tell anybody because I wanted him, like I wanted this baby
you
so badly.
It to be your child.
I wanted it so badly. This child went to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're perfect. Perfect fit, perfect family, you know, everything. And it was meant to be their child. It was not meant to be my child. But it's still hard because I wanted this baby.
You're infertile, right? Yes. You've suffered for 8 years at this point.
Right.
And finally, it's a reality.
Right. And it's coming. It's just so bizarre because
it's hard to say no to that.
We've done youth ministry for all these years. And it was like out of the blue, this opportunity comes up for me to then do it full time. And it was just, and literally the week we were starting the youth group that week, our first meeting was that week. Like,
it might have been a blessing in disguise because at any other time you might have said yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And maybe that wasn't the best thing.
Well, right. Do. And that's kind of been our story is so that happened. And then, excuse me, we actually then had another woman, which it didn't pan out, but it was literally like it kept happening. So that's when we started thinking about the adoption mm-hmm. process because they were like, okay, clearly the Lord wants us to adopt because he keeps throwing babies at us. You know what I mean? And so there was this other woman who was like, you know, I have this person who might, it didn't pan out, but there was that. And then I had another woman come to me and was like, so FYI, there's this ministry where this doctor does adoptions. Like, so women come to him and he basically like they're seeking out abortions and he like gets them hooked up with families who want to adopt.
First of all, you'd think there would be more organizations like this, but they're hard to find. Like, why isn't this more of a thing?
Well, and I told you this, we actually had, I was looking for that. And this is something that I'll talk about in our pro-life episode, based off of a family member, something that happened with a family member. And I couldn't find it. I called Louisiana Pro-Life and all that. And they were basically like, short of you literally standing outside of an abortion clinic, like there's no, which is crazy to me, you know?
Well, it's weird that they are not even aware of this doctor so they could refer people to him.
Right, right. So when this doctor came up, I was like, it was like, okay, this, the Lord wants this, you know? So, and we don't have the money, you know, to really adopt, you know, and this would have been a private adoption. So it would have been
say, what's important to point out here too, is that these are multiple private adoptions being offered to you. So it's like not killing two birds with one stone, but not only are you having this opportunity, but at a lower cost where you don't have to go through the agency, which was why it was so tempting.
Right, exactly. So we opened that door and we started that process. And it was the first time that Will and I were both in the same place about adopting, like the first time. And you cannot go through that process without both being in the same place. Yeah. Like, it's just impossible. Like, I mean, and I know you'll speak to this, you know, in a little bit, but like, so we opened that door, we started the home study, we had three meetings, you know, the initial meeting and then two meetings, because there's three total, right?
Three before. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were getting ready, like, you know, got our home safety check and everything, got our, you know, fire extinguisher class B or whatever it is.
PS, that, side note, all the weird things you have to have in order at your house.
Yeah. And so, you know, had our references, all that good stuff. And then all of a sudden I went to spiritual direction and I was feeling almost like sick to my stomach for some reason. I was just like, something's not right. Like, and like, I was gung ho. We were ready. We had announced it. Like, and all of a sudden I just had this like intense change of heart. And that's when, my spiritual director at the time, Father Zachary, and I talked, and this is actually how the whole spiritual motherhood thing started. Ooh. That was that conversation that I relayed to you that started our whole conversation about spiritual motherhood, because of, you know, discerning, you know, adoption and things like that. So I went to him and I was like, you know, I don't know why, but like, all of a sudden I'm like feeling like we shouldn't adopt, you know? And it was just crazy. And that's when he was like, Elise, like, maybe the Lord isn't calling you to adopt. Like, look at what he's doing in your life. Like, and that's when he started talking about spiritual motherhood. And he was like, maybe this is what you're called to. Like, maybe this is, and he's like, yes. You know, he wasn't saying for certain, but he was like, there's a reason why the Lord is putting this on your heart, you know?
Well, this is what's so hard about it is, again, we're raised in a culture that says biological motherhood, or at least it puts that above everything else. Yes. Yeah. So we can't get pregnant. We feel called to be a mother. So we go towards the adoption route. And many women are called to go and adopt. Mm-hmm. But it gets so confusing when we don't understand. Mm-hmm. Look at all the other ways that we are actually serving God and being mothers.
Right.
And so, okay, well, adoption isn't working out. Well, now what am I?
Right.
What do I have to offer?
Right.
And so I think it's beautiful you came to that, and how hard and how humbling to say, to take it down a notch and get there.
Well, right. And it's his point was like, you know, if you don't know your value and your worth, like having a baby, adopting a baby isn't going to give that to you. You know what I mean? Good. Like you need to know that, like, you are a mother, like, Elise, you are a mother already.
So
like,
important.
Oh, it was just such a valuable conversation. And, you know, he was like, you don't have to find your worth in being a biological mother.
Again,
yeah. You don't have to find your worth in being a biological mother.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, and which is so crazy because this is the conversation that it initiated this whole me and you getting so fired up about spiritual motherhood, you know. Mm. That's the conversation I referred to when we initially talked about that.
Yes, I remember.
So, and it was just such it was so bizarre because I feel like anytime I've ever talked to any priest, it's like baby, 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 and they're pushing baby on you. And he was the first priest that was like, maybe you're not called to that.
What wisdom of a priest. Can we just,
I mean, I was a little bit angry at him, like, but you know, like,
well, no, that, I mean, that's real life. Look, that was something hard to hear.
Yes.
Let's be real.
Right. And, but here's the thing. And this is the wisdom of, like, when you have a personal relationship with Christ and you are discerning, and you're, because a discernment process isn't like we discern and then we're done. It's a continual openness to the Holy Spirit. So we thought we were discerning and we were supposed to be going through that process for whatever reason. And then what's crazy is then William went to Manresa, which is like this big man retreat. And I got a call about a baby, which we weren't even done with the process or anything.
Right.
And we had literally just discerned and talked, me and him, that this was not the right time. We were going to sell our house. We were going to do all these things. And like, we just realized it wasn't the right time to adopt, you know?
You were at my house when Will was at Manresa having this conversation with me. We were
crying.
Sitting outside. You were crying. You were telling me about this child. And you were telling me that you were kind of questioning the whole adoption.
Well, so what I came over and like we'd already decided that we were not going to adopt at this point. Like, our house was completely torn apart.
That's right.
I came over your house crying because one, Will was on a silent retreat, so I couldn't get a hold of him. But I had told this woman, I said, listen, I'm so sorry. We meant to call you and let you know, but we decided that we're going to move, and like, we just decided that for right now, we're going to take a break, like that it isn't the right time. And this was not an okay thing to do and for any social worker to do. She said, well, I guess this child's just going to go into the system then.
So she guilted you.
Yes. And then I came over your house and bawled my eyes out because,
that was
inappropriate. And you and Chris had to like care for me because because that was not okay.
It's not your responsibility
So, and I, you know, that's what's crazy is, and this is just goes to how to show that like you have to trust in God, because then literally we got pregnant.
You were pregnant at that time.
No.
Oh,
we,
sorry.
Just a couple days later. Sorry, everybody. Now you know when we conceived Elijah. He got back. We had fun. No. So we ended up conceiving Elijah, and then all of the insanity happened, and there's no way we would have been able to have a toddler and go through what we have been going through. Like, I can barely take care of myself right now. So it was God's divine wisdom and his will that we were not to adopt at that point, because my gosh, like, my poor husband has enough to deal with right now. You know what I mean?
But also the docility for you to say, I was wrong in going for, maybe not that you were even wrong in going forward with the adoption process. I don't think we were.
I think it was, we were supposed to go down that
path. But to stop.
Right.
How hard is that? And how embarrassing to
be like, okay, never mind. Yeah, especially because we made like this announcement and like, but that's the thing is like, I had to be like, I can't do this based off of vanity. Like I can't do this based off of what other people are thinking. Like this has to be what's right for our family.
And thank God.
And like Will was on board at the time. And we were just literally saying we were going to pause. We weren't saying like we were going to stop. We were just like, we need to pause. We need to like regroup, you know? And again, like didn't know that any of this was going to happen. And this is what's crazy is that now, you know, we're finding out all these things about my body and that, you know, when I hemorrhaged, that was not an accident, that I actually have clotting issues and all these other, you know, like syndromes and diseases and all this stuff and mutated uterus and everything else that is, it actually like, I can't get pregnant right now. Mm-hmm. Like right now they're saying it's not even an option. Like it's too risky. Like,
which is another conversation we need to have about a lot of chronic illness and just in general, there are women, like this is a thing that it could endanger the life of the woman and the child if she were to get pregnant.
Right.
So let's be careful about how we're judging other people who we see are married in church and don't have children, not just because they're infertile, but because they might have to actually avoid pregnancy for very serious reasons.
Right. And I'm definitely not the first. And I know of other women who have, you know, had situations like this. And my NAPRO doctor, Dr. Susan Caldwell, called me up when she got the results and was like, do not try. Like it was like, like absolutely do not try until you know. And then my high risk doctor is like, I'm not even going to have the conversation with you until we figure out all that's wrong with you, you know? So it's just, and it's, So we're still discerning because we don't even know at this point, like, you know, we're getting older, like maybe the Lord isn't calling us to adopt, you know, which that's a very hard pill to swallow because I have always wanted children. You know what I mean? Like, so it's been such a long journey of discernment for us and, you know, being open to life and then being open to adoption and, you know, and like kind of like going one step forward, then going back. And you're right. Like just having to be docile to the Holy Spirit. And even in times like this where it's like my choice has been taken away from me. Like completely, like I can't, and with all the health issues I have, there's a good chance they wouldn't even let me adopt unless I did like a foster to adopt, you know,
because multiple choices have been taken away.
Because one of the things, as you know, you have to get a physical, you have to have a doctor who will say you're healthy enough. No doctor would say I was healthy enough right now and potentially not even in the future. You know what I mean? So it is like, you just have to continue to be open to the Holy Spirit, because part of the discernment process is when he says no, like listening to what the Lord is saying in those moments of no, because he's actually saying yes, but to something else, but no to this, you know? So like, it's just a continual process.
And that's when you have a choice when you're infertile, right?
Yeah.
And you're hit with that no, and all you can see is the no.
Yeah.
All you see is the brick wall. Well, there we have the choice and the grace of the Holy Spirit to say, okay, you're saying no to this, but I know you love me too much to leave me here. What am I missing?
Right. Yeah.
What else are you saying yes to? What are you calling me to do that's greater than this? If we don't turn the ship around and start, you know, looking and asking these other questions and being open to that, well, yeah, we're going to stay in that very difficult and lonely, hopeless
place. The ship will go down. The ship will go down. So, we'll get delirious, we'll get dehydrated, and then start acting crazy. Well, I mean, like on a shipwreck, you know, like it's like, it's you know, they get delirious. If you're moving, you're not moving in the water, you literally get sunburnt, you get delirious, you get, you know, dehydrated, and then you start going crazy. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
I like to say infertility is not an end.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like anything else in life. It's the answer is always, what is it? Yes, not now, or I have a better plan. Is that the right saying? Something like that. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. But it's so true.
But it's one thing more that I want to say, but then I really want to go on to your story, like of your discernment is like, this was something that I didn't even think about, but like my husband has said to me like many times in this process, especially recently, he's said, I want you more than I want a baby.
Yes.
Which, I mean, that's just beautiful in itself, yes, because he puts me first. But it also is, here's my issue, is that I'm willing to take the risk, mm-hmm, because I want a baby that bad. But that's selfish to my husband, mm-hmm, because if he has to go at it without me, that's not fair to him. You know what I mean? So like there's also a discernment process in that, and like respecting your spouse's wishes. Like if the doctors, true, say, hey, there's a significant risk with this, I have to be willing to love my husband and his wishes enough over mine, of because I'd be like, I'm doing it. Even almost dying last time, I'm ready to do it. Yeah, Father Zachariah was like, what are you, crazy woman? You almost died last time. And I'm like, I want to do it again.
Well,
like,
and absolutely. And even whether it's something serious as that or just a couple who cannot, right, achieve a pregnancy,
right,
God comes first, the marriage,
right,
and your own mental health.
Right.
So if you can't be okay when God says no,
right,
then are we ready? In a, right, place that is okay to have a child anyway. Like, right, all these other things, like that,
right,
that,
exactly,
health is the most important, exactly, and needs to be right where it needs,
well,
to be.
And the relationship that you have with your spouse is the most important. Yeah, and absolutely, this is where dysfunction happens, and you see this where the child is put above the spouse, you know? Like, I need to love my, mm-hmm, husband enough that if his wish is that, no, we're not going to do this, you know, we're not going to try again because it's too risky and I can't do this without you, I'd rather have you than lose you. And then, my gosh, him be a single dad. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like I have to love him above myself, you know, because selfishly I want to be like, screw it, I want to try again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, once we figure out all the many pieces of things that are wrong with me, we have one big piece, but now we're figuring, yeah, out all these little pieces. That is going to have to be that discernment process. And I'm going to have to love my husband above myself and my own selfish wishes. Not that it's selfish that I want a child.
No, it's not a bad desire.
But like, you know, I have to think of him before I think of myself, you know?
Yeah.
And that's,
as with just, that's, hey, welcome to marriage.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But it's just something that I never, ever considered would even be a thought in my mind, that I'd have to be like, well, but I want to risk having my life taken and you don't, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's like, who thinks that they're going to have to think about these things?
No one can prepare you for that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's been our discernment journey. We're still on it.
We're still done, aren't we? So, yeah. Still discerning, you know, that.
But you actually adopted. You went the distance. Let's talk about that.
It's so exhausting. Not from that, but just from the discernment. It's just exhausting.
Yes. Yeah.
The first time around, Chris was on board since day one. We talked a little bit about this. It was more natural to him than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the beauty of it and why it actually happened so as quickly as it did was because of his patience. And like we talked about, both people in the marriage have to be there.
Right.
And the biggest grace that Chris had was to be patient, because he was so ready and just was waiting for me because I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And it was only because of that I came around when I did. And it was so much easier, I feel like, that time, even though it wasn't. But once I did make the decision, it was just no turning back. And I remember vividly, it was like, okay, again, it was because I thought moving forward with adoption meant I would never get pregnant.
Right.
And it's not saying that, but still, that doesn't need to be in the conversation.
Right,
it's just,
right,
God, what do you want us to do today?
Right.
And so once I finally accepted that, though, like,
which is a big hurdle,
it freed me, yeah, to move forward. And it was really, it was a good, pretty easy from there on out, and everything kind of fell into place. We waited under a year, which is pretty fast,
yeah,
for an agency adoption.
Right.
And so yeah, we had this, we had it planned, right? Like everyone does. We will do this for so long and then we will start the process again. And we had it all mapped out in our heads.
And like, doesn't happen that way.
Then I had a couple more surgeries and,
right,
you know, some other issues that we had to get past. And
just a few surgeries.
Just a few. Yeah. And so it kept getting pushed back. And then we were finally at the place where Chris was ready again. And I was ready. I just didn't know. Like, I just, right, you don't yeah. know what it's going to be like until you have a child mm-hmm. already. And then it comes mm-hmm. into this other round of things. It's like, well, now, it, again, like we talked about this in my introduction episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was not lying when I said infertility opened up so many doors for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it showed me the desires of my heart. And that was right. God's plan for my life.
Right.
So I started doing all these other things. And right. I finally right. had the purpose that God had created me right. for, and these fulfilling things. And I just was busy.
Right. Like, right.
And I'm a stay at home mom, and I'm doing all these other things. And it's like, well, what? I really feel like God is calling me to do more of these things. Like, when
right, right.
is He calling me? Now I have like blossomed in this spiritual motherhood, and it's right, so fulfilling. Right. And I'm seeing that now. Is he calling us to adopt again?
Right, right.
I mean, it's just an honest question to ask.
Right, right.
And so Chris and I were kind of different places in here and this in that aspect. So, but again.
And this is your second time discerning.
Second time discerning around.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times. And it's not to say people who can get pregnant have it all easy. I'm not trying to say that. Right, but right. how many times Chris and I were like, gosh, if we could just get pregnant, it would make it so much easier.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like, we don't have to do all, you know, and that. So, like, anyway.
It just happens.
It just happens. And you don't have to have all those choices, again, we talked about. It's like filling right. out the paperwork is very difficult.
Yes.
Not only is it time yeah. consuming, the background checks, it's costly.
Pretty demoralizing. You have to make
it, yeah. And now that we know what we're getting into, right, the agencies, right, right. it's like, now we know how we messed up the first time.
Right.
It's like, now we know all these bad things that could happen, which right. we're just kind of like blissfully ignorant the first time
right,
around,
right.
not lucky.
Right.
So it's just scary and frightening altogether.
But even the paperwork is extremely intrusive. Yes. Like, I didn't realize it how really intrusive is. It was, which it's for the protection of the child.
Yeah, of course.
But it's actually a very, like, they ask some real personal
well,
questions.
Look, let's be honest. We're grateful this is the way it is, because we don't want just right, any right. Joe
Absolutely.
Schmo off the street Absolutely. To be able to adopt a child.
Absolutely.
This is important to the process. And I don't know if that's supposed to make me, honestly, if that's supposed to make me feel good or bad.
Right.
I'm not
right.
Joe Schmo.
Right.
I know we're good parents. And right. we still have to be scrutinized.
But
that
you have
is
to
very
prove
humbling.
That you're going to be.
Exactly.
Right.
I have to prove that.
Which
I
is hard. Like, as an
someone,
infertile, that's very
exactly.
hard. Because there's a lot of people who just get pregnant, you know, teenagers
who
and things like that.
Be.
Yes.
And
exactly.
I have to invite this woman into my home, check every corner of my house yes. to say, okay, I believe you're a fit parent.
Well, and even question
it's,
you.
It's
like,
so humiliating.
Yeah, it is. It's very.
This one particular agency, I don't think I told you this. The hardest part in this paperwork, there is a section that I basically have to prove my infertility. It's
what?
A part, I know. And okay, look, I'm sure there are good reasons for this, but this was the sole reason. I was like, Chris, I don't know if I can go with this agency. It
yeah.
was so emotionally challenging to think, I have to sit here and write down. It wants surgeries. It wants, are you actively trying to conceive? Are you using any, like, you know, what are you doing to try to get pregnant? Look, I'm sure they have their reasons, but this, it was, I mean,
what?
It wanted to bring me to tears to say, I'm sorry, I'm not proving my infertility to anybody.
Well, I mean, like,
I've been through enough. Like,
right.
you can just take me for my word. I'm infertile.
Well, I mean, because our social worker, like, one of the things she asked us was, like, are you adopting just because you're infertile? Because she was like, mm-hmm. that's not a good reason to adopt. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, mm-hmm. yeah. like it, which I thought
which
was really,
true, plus,
yeah, like, yeah. I thought that was a really good point. Like, you know, she was like, if you get pregnant, are you going to stop the adoption?
And I think that's
you know?
Why the paperwork is there. I think that
right.
it may, you know, they want to know if you get matched with someone, you get pregnant, are you going to change your mind?
Right.
And
right.
that's understandable.
Right.
But it doesn't change the fact that it's hard for me to look at that. At
right.
That
but
sheet.
My point being is like,
why do you need so much? May,
yeah. That doesn't make sense to me.
I called a friend and someone who recommended this particular mm-hmm. agency. Mm-hmm. She adopted two children from this, a good friend of our family. Mm-hmm. And she helped me a lot. I was like, look, I'm really struggling with this. Was this hard for you? Cause she was infertile for mm-hmm. a while. And she was just like, it didn't have the same effect on her.
Right.
And every infertility story is different.
Right.
But,
right.
But she eased my mind. She was like, maybe let Chris fill out that form and you don't need to go into detail. Right, just right. say you've had multiple surgeries, this and that. Right. And it made me feel better. And, you know, it didn't have the impact on her. But, man, it puts such a bad taste in my mouth. It just feels like you run into these roadblocks after roadblocks. Mm-hmm. That is just a reminder mm-hmm. of like, hey, it's just you weren't good enough to have a child. Right. You know, like it's just this absolutely. Constantly beat down.
Yes.
Getting beat down to go through this process that yeah. is so beautiful.
Right.
So it's just a lot of different things, all the things. And not to mention filling out paperwork feels so wrong to say, yes, I'll accept a child who has, you know, these problems. And right. it's so hard for
or
us to
not accept or, you know,
saying that.
Yeah. Or what race. It's a very strange feeling.
It's a strange feeling. So that's just a couple of things that we're dealing with. But also part of the discernment process where, like, I'm trying to get there, trying to be open, and just Chris and I are trying to get on the same page. And that right. means daily prayer and constant openness
yeah.
and looking at the things around yeah. us in our lives, talking to people, talking to professionals, right. gathering all the information. And it's really working Chris and I's ability to communicate.
Yeah.
And so it's been right. that's been bringing up things that we need to discuss more in our marriage, which has actually been really good right. because right. it's helping us to grow in unity in our marriage. And,
right.
you know, who knows? Maybe that's just what God is working through to get our marriage right. to the best place that it can be to welcome another child.
Yeah.
Something I didn't mention before, going there is that point where you do get to say, okay, now I'm open, whether you're pregnant or like adopting. At some point, you do get to the point when with adoption that right. you're saying, okay, now it is in your hands,
we're
God.
Waiting.
We're
yeah.
just waiting. If you want this to happen, it will. If not, it won't.
Right.
It just takes a lot longer to get there.
Well, and I think a good distinguishing factor, I think this is so important because this is what, when I called you in distress about that situation with the child, you were so like, when you know, you know, like
yeah.
you were like, we had to say no a few times before Bella. So can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's important
true.
For people who are going through the process to know it's okay. Like you don't have to just take the first child because maybe that isn't supposed to be your child. You know, does
yeah,
that make sense?
Like you said, you heard in church, he said, this is not your child.
Yeah.
I heard like your child is your child regardless of how much she costs. And
right,
that was
right.
what we were kind of the first time around. Bella was a very expensive. I was like not the financial commitment we had planned
right.
on.
Right.
And so that was the biggest thing holding us back. There was a lot of things that didn't match up with
right,
what we
right.
had intended. And that was the biggest thing. And I just heard your child is your child. Like it just doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't know that until we got to that point because
right.
the other times it was just it just wasn't right.
Right, right.
And so.
And that's that docility of the Holy Spirit that you were talking about is that you knew it wasn't right.
And
you know
it,
what I mean?
But it's confusing because it feels wrong to deny a child.
Yes.
How do you say no?
Right.
How do you say no?
Right.
I will not adopt this child
yeah.
that you're.
Right.
I've gone into this process. Like, what a blessing we're being on.
Right.
Nope. It plays with your, there's so many things about adoption
yes.
that plays with your mind, but
yeah.
you got to step back and look at the facts at some point and say like, God, we're open to your will. Like this
right.
either is or isn't.
Right.
And maybe somebody else is called to be this person's parents. And it is.
Well, and that's, I mean, the situation that happened with us in multiple times,
yeah.
it's like this child, like, I don't know what happened to the child. You know, maybe they did go into the system.
Right.
I want to believe that they didn't, or but maybe that is their road. Like, and that's
absolutely.
What's hard to accept is like that you can't. And Will says this all the time. He's like, I want to foster animals, and he's like, Elise, no. He's like, you would adopt all of them. And so, and this is why he's like, I won't foster children either, because you'd want to adopt all of them. You know, you'd be emotionally wrecked
life.
All the time. You would be in constant emotional upheaval because you'd be like, they're all my babies, you know, like
so true.
It's, yeah, it is true. And he's right. But, you know, I think it's so hard, like you said, to say no to a child because you're like, I know I could be a good mom. I know, but if that is not supposed to be for that child or for you, like you're now denying that child God's will. You know what I mean? And it's
true.
So weird to realize that, but it was the same thing. Like I said, the one friend was very like, and she didn't mean it, she's never been through this process, but she was
excited. She wanted something good for you. Right. Exactly.
I mean, the fact that we were the first people that she called, you know what I mean? Like, which was so amazing and like so beautiful, but this child wasn't meant to be ours, you know?
Yeah.
And like, if we hadn't said no, it could have created a chaotic situation for this child that, you know, and then this other family who was clearly meant to be his wouldn't have, you know, like, so it's just such a, you have to listen to God and you have to trust him that what is meant to be is meant to be, you know?
And as with any good discernment, the most important part is to take emotions out of it, to take our desires out of it, which is the hardest part of discernment. But really, when you go to square one, it's like, okay, if you're ever struggling with it, come go back to the basics. Right. Okay, let's remove my will. My desires don't matter. Right. God, what do you want?
Right.
And that's kind of how we have to, that's kind of where I am now. I'm trying to like every day, like, okay, get rid of my desires. Let's look at this objectively, as difficult or as impossible as that is. What is God desires above ours?
Right. And that's, there's no other way to do it than just be patient and be in prayer, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at that moment, I would have been like, give me the baby right now. You know, that's what I wanted. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, but that's the thing is like, and where you're at right now, it's like, you have, it's so bizarre because we're so wired to like, take the baby, you know, like we're Catholics. We take babies. That's what we do. You know what I mean? Like babies all the time, you know?
I'll tell you something else I was thinking about today and really just loving this idea. But like the first time around, you have the biggest, I feel like a big thing is like, oh, she's not going to look like us.
Right.
I was, you know, like fearing like, is she going to feel mine? And I just was thinking about today. I was like, I really don't care. Like, I just do not care at all. It's just really beautiful to see the transformation now that she's in our home to be like, it really does not matter. Like, she's just as much ours. Really what we miss is the pregnancy.
Right.
I know
everybody
says how horrible pregnancy is. Like, I get it. It's horrible. But that's what we miss the most is being able to like, I think, carry a child, feel that, hear the heartbeat, feel the kick, like that pregnancy. But after that, I mean, you there's a pregnancy for a short period of time. And that's something I'll always miss and desire. But at the end of the day, like the child is ours.
Right.
So I just love that that's not a thing anymore. It's just like, give me the baby.
Well, but that's what, but you actually, Bella was what freed us of that because we were like, after we saw Bella, it just blew everything out of the water for us because we were like, whatever baby is meant to be ours is meant to be ours. So it doesn't matter race, you know, whatever, like the like, bring it on, you know what
bring
I mean?
It on.
Like, and it was just this freedom of like, the Lord is going to choose our child. You know what I mean?
It's
and
really
like how, I mean, like out of all, this is what's so cool about adoption is like when you put it in God's hands, like out of all the children in the world, Bella was meant to be yours.
It really
you know
is
I mean?
Cool. Like, I mean, I'm thinking about it and holding her in my arms and looking in the mirror, which we have this mirror in our foyer, like by the bathroom. So I'll just often sit, hold her. We like make funny faces and smile in the mirror. We look so different.
Yeah.
I mean, just as far as complexion and physical features go, but it's just so cool to sit there though, because our personalities are similar. Our smiles are the same. And
it's
she is
such a
beautiful thing. Maybe even just more beautiful to be able to like enjoy and sit in our differences, you know, because so many people tear each other apart for their differences and to really just appreciate that there is a difference.
Right.
Really cool.
I mean, I just, adoption is, it's just so, I mean, like, there's like a whole, I really do. I hope we get to adopt, but I don't know if that's God's will for us, but, I mean, it's just so, I'm just saying it is. Bella just changed both of our hearts and our worlds.
Oh, that's
and,
so sweet.
And opened our eyes up to the possibilities of the beauty of that openness.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
she's pretty awesome.
Heck yeah. And she loves y'all.
Oh, we love her.
She has a crush on Will.
Oh, she totally does now.
Totally. I'm looking. What a great chat.
I know.
Thanks for chatting with me about this.
You're so welcome. Thank you for sharing too.
Even though we chat all the time about this.
I know.
All right, moving on to the word of the day.
Oh, okay.
That was a fun one.
Okay.
Taradiddle. Taradiddle.
Taradiddle.
Taradiddle.
Okay. It's a pterodactyl bug.
Oh, like a little diddle.
Yeah, pterodiddle.
A little bug diddle.
So it's a form
like a Jurassic
of,
bug.
Yes.
A pterodiddle.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll accept that. This is a great definition. This word references someone or something that is filled with pretentious nonsense or something that is a lie.
Oh my gosh, that is so
amazing. A great example of this is that classic fisherman's tale of how big the fish he caught was. Usually the fisherman is lying or at least exaggerating about the fish, especially if he or she, in parentheses it has,
didn't keep the fish. We got to be correct.
Just this thing, use it as a sentence. That's fun.
Pterodiddle.
It'd be great if we actually started using these words in real life. I can't remember any of them.
Pterodiddle.
Except sawbones. Your husband did use sawbones today in an actual sentence.
He did?
Yeah. When I was joking about how gruesome you get, he was like, we talk about cutting sawbones or sawing through, but I don't know what he said, but he used it. That was great.
He's so cute.
We are really so is. Grateful for you guys hanging out with us today. We had a great conversation. So please review us and follow us. We're on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, at Messy Buns Podcast.
Yeah,
right?
That's what you said. Yeah. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.